Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so you're an influencer and you get invited to go to this beautiful island, and you meet the guy that's like kind of in charge of the whole thing. And he's like kind of I'm having trouble coming up with some good qualities. He's really ambitious, and you guys hit it off, and he tells you that he's doing this for a music festival, and that like, oh, it's going to be so great. And then you're like, oh, great, I can't wait to like do the actual festival. You go to the festival. It isn't really what you thought it would be, but he's there. And so you get to continue your relationship with him, kind of like you're like you keep canoodling with him, but then also you're like angry because this is like really bad. Like, this is not at all what you thought it would be. But you know what? You decide to stick it out. You decide to just keep dating him. And then he gets arrested. And you put together the bail to get him out. And then he's out. And then he's like, I have a plan. And you're like, what? Like, I just feel like things haven't been really going great for your plans. And he's like, let's do more fraud. And you are like, but you know what? You decide to keep going with it because you are just living like you're like on a wave of happiness, and like things just keep, somehow they just keep working out. And then he like makes you start like writing emails to people and like calling them, or he asks you to do it. Do you stay with him?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out over real love and fake relationships.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Kelly.
My name's Ryan.
My name is Colin.
So can you stay with Fire Festival Man?
Billy.
This is like, what? No. No.
But I mean, you've been on this ride for this long.
You can make a mistake every day and then wake up in the morning and realize you're going to stop making that mistake.
That's a really good quote.
Wow.
Holy, I like that a lot. You can make a mistake every day and then wake up in the morning and decide you're just not going to make a mistake.
Holy shit.
That's like, sorry, you could tell someone that that's like on the brink of like, my life is worthless. Like, you could be like, you can make a mistake.
Seriously.
Ryan.
That's some Tony Robbins shit.
I think I should be an influencer.
Here's the thing.
I can meet Billy.
Date him for years
through Fire Festival.
I thought she met him after.
No, she meets him. No. I'm just making up a random person.
Oh, okay, because he has a girlfriend. That's the part that's annoying to me.
Sorry. He has a girlfriend.
Oh, you have not watched Hulu, have you?
No, I only watched parts of Hulu where his pupils are so big and he is definitely coked out.
He's coked out.
Totally.
And he got paid like $250,000.
To do the Hulu thing?
He hated doing the Hulu thing.
It did not go his way.
It didn't. Yeah, it was not flattering.
It's so weird. They didn't ask him questions that made him look very good.
No.
I only saw parts. I didn't hear about the girlfriend part. I only saw the parts where like a lot of the questions just to him.
Yeah. No, he post Firefest meets a beautiful blonde lady.
What?
And she is his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. They fall in love.
But he doesn't, as far as we know, I don't think he asked her to commit any frauds.
He commits that second round of fraud his own self.
He asked that guy Frank to do it.
Frank later.
Come over and like,
she is just
a fraud with me.
Yeah, she's just a beautiful girl. I think she's a girl who, and I've been watching a lot of 90 Day Fiancé too. I think she's a woman who likes a man to give her money and take care of her. Or to like to be that
Here's
guy who's like going to take her to a nice
you know
dinner.
What? You're
so I don't
correct.
Yeah, but the girl that you described, this person, I hope she and I don't have much in common.
I mean, I think
she is a frauder too.
Yes, she's into it.
Yeah, she's in it. She's into it.
So then
she's
like, yeah, just stick
she's
with
Bonnie
it.
And Clyding with him.
No, you see, that's a totally different thing. If I'm into fucking doing frauds as well, this is a perfect relationship because not only do I get to play along with all of his frauds. Any frauds that I do, when it starts to like look a little sketchy, the ice is getting a little
so schmucky that he'll just...
Yeah, he's a total scapegoat. I could just send him to jail for another 10 years,
but now that
I'm like scot-free on my frauds.
But now that there are two movies about him, isn't it going to be harder for him to fraud people again?
Well, he was
frauding after the Firefest.
Right, but now there are these movies, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think, here's the thing. Is he banned from being a CEO?
He's currently in jail.
So he's currently in jail.
That's my understanding.
And he's only going to be there for 6 years, probably less. Mm-hmm.
And he is banned from this show, right? We're never going to have...
Same day shipping.
No,
we'll have him on.
Shit. Well...
We have an open door policy.
Right. So if anyone.
And also, we have no guests ever.
Yeah. I was kidding about the open door. We don't even invite most of the people we love onto the show.
We tried it a couple of times and then we're like, nah.
Yeah, we like us.
I think.
So yeah, he could come.
He can come
outside Kelly's apartment and call up to us like hot takes.
Here's the thing, I don't want to be around him if he's going to tell us about awesome shit. Because it's like, I don't want to just be polite while you fucking lie about awesome shit the whole time.
I have no interest in interacting with him in any way, honestly.
Me neither.
I think I've seen enough of him.
What if he's a huge Roswell fan? But like legitimately, he's not making it up. And he's like, respects
the
show.
Is there such a thing for him though of like liking something but not making it up? Like he's
he can't actually like anything except like status.
Well, he likes things that I think he's a hedonistic. Like I think he likes doing drugs. He likes to ride motors, jet skis, which I don't think when he's on the jet ski he's like, if no one's taking a picture of me on this jet ski, it's not worth being on this jet ski. I think he's getting joy from the jet skiing.
Do you remember when he would like be like brainstorming about what they have to do at Firefest and then get overwhelmed and just like go ride a jet ski.
And
then like come back and be like, sorry, I've got all these ideas.
That's so nice. Amazing. I'm going to start doing that instead of like excusing myself to go have a cigarette when I need a break. I'm going to go use a jet ski instead.
Just get a little quad.
Yeah.
And
go quad around the city.
We go do some donuts in the parking lot real quick.
That's a great idea, Colin.
Isn't that awesome?
I think we support that.
Thanks, guys.
Just because you wake up and make a mistake every day doesn't mean you can't wake up another day
and realize like I need to be jet skiing more. I love it.
Damn, I thought I had to... I had a segue and then it slipped away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
He does drink.
Are you going to talk about the toast?
He does drink.
They do a toast.
Oh my God. I hate that toast.
What do they call it when you like have all the champagne?
Oh, when you
pop
like
champagne?
No,
popping champagne tops off.
Popping sounds right, but it's like popping something else.
Oh, marrying Poppin.
No.
That's right. We're talking Mary Poppins return ships today.
It's Lin-Manuel Miranda with everybody, y'all.
Woo!
No, I want Dick Van Dyke with everybody.
Old man Dick Van Dyke with everyone?
Yeah.
I mean, young, old.
Yeah.
All of it.
Anyway.
The entire spectrum of Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. A Van Dyke head.
We are talking about bottle ships.
Because
ships
they be popping bottles.
Ships in a bottle.
Ships in a bottle.
Yes.
Which could mean anything because we did not, again, we don't define the ships. We name them. That is not our job is not in the definitions.
One of my favorite things about this is that Colin named this Colin, right? You named the ship?
Yes, Colin did.
Like a month and a half ago. Mm. And we are just getting around to actually doing it now. Mm-hmm. So we've all been sitting with the idea of what a bottle ship is for weeks.
Yes.
I'm very excited to hear what everyone came up with.
Yeah, yeah. What do you guys got?
I can go first.
Okay.
How familiar are you guys with the Metroid series?
Ooh.
Barely.
Okay, great. So the protagonist in the Metroid games is Samus Aran, a badass bounty hunter chick who you don't know is a lady in the first game that you're playing until the very end. She takes off her helmet and you're 7 years old and you're like, whoa, I've been playing as a girl the whole time. This is great. So Samus has a very Ellen Ripley like relationship with the Metroids in that game, right? So like a very alien to Ellen Ripley relationship, in that there is one that she looks at as like her child, even though it's like this evil blood sucking alien thing. Through the course of these games, in like the chronology on them is all fucked up, but in the penultimate one, chronologically speaking, which is called Metroid Other M, she gets like baby crazy. The game is not at all subtle with its baby imagery. So like she stumbles upon a bottle ship that has
a spaceship.
That looks like a baby bottle.
Literal
bottle.
How could it be shaped that way?
Well, it's got a big
exactly
rubber nipple.
Like a, it
no, no, it looks like a tube. It looks like but they call it a bottle ship.
Okay.
And like she remarks that the distress signal on it is called a baby's cry because it's gets as much attention as like a distress signal could, which like that's what a fucking distress signal would be. Like, I don't think you need to.
I like the soothing ones.
Yeah, where you're just like, I just cuddle up. But so at the end of the Metroid, so that's my into bottle ship. And at the end of the Metroid series, at the end of Metroid Fusion, Samus, who is an intergalactic bounty hunter who works pretty closely with like the military. By the end of Metroid 4, she's like done working with them. She's like a fugitive because she's trying to rescue the Metroids and all these other like alien creatures. She's a little bit baby crazy. Things have gotten like dark and intense. And so that's Samus. She is on the run from the galactic military, having betrayed them. So who does she encounter in deep space? Who's going to help her get over her baby issues and maybe just like calm things down a bit? She runs in to the Milano and hooks up with Star-Lord, who can
What?
Star-Lord and Samus Aran is my bottle ship.
Whoa.
What Star-Lord is this and what is going on with him?
Well, this is...
Because there's different versions, there's different...
Right. I mean, I'm basically going like post Guardians 1, like between Guardians Volume 1 and 2 in the MCU.
So he's already had his switch flipped by Gamora for a badass like fighter lady.
Right. And he's still ready to... but like the important part to me is that he can help her like...
She needs
like a funny boy.
Yeah.
And like he can be her funny boy.
But is she going to let her? Well, not, is she going to let her? Is her need to have a child at this point going to be a problem? Because Star-Lord can't handle that kind of
responsibility. Well, so here's the thing. I don't know that she needs like a literal human child. She needs
a boyfriend child.
No, not where I was going. Oh. But she needs like a little monster that is...
Wait, what?
Because she's bonded with
okay,
this
so
baby
what is
Metroid.
The little monster?
It's a baby Groot.
Baby Groot could do it.
He's a baby Groot.
All right.
Gamora would be real bummed if Star-Lord brought his new badass girlfriend to live on the ship and do adventures.
She'd probably be okay, though. Because I think she would just move on, and she'd probably find someone who's like,
she would bury it.
She'd probably get more serious about trying to get the Infinity Stones. And honestly, that would have probably helped everybody out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're all better off.
Right. She needs to focus. Samus Aran needs to relax.
She just needs to kick her feet up and take off her helmet every once in a while.
Right. Normally, she'll get that damn helmet.
Yeah.
flow in the
Zero Suit Samus.
That's right.
Yeah, I was like, the only Samus action I've had is playing Smash.
Yeah. And same as these. That's pretty darn good bottle ship there, Patrick.
We all were like, whoa!
I did not expect it.
That was cool.
For my bottle ship, I went with the classic television concept of the bottle episode.
Yes.
Which is like you take some of your main characters and you trap them in a situation. Like the cliche is it's an elevator that stops or, you know, locked in a freezer happens, I believe, in Keenan and Kel, which is a great, great example. But the one I actually found to go with, even so, I set out to find a bottle episode and ship it. And the one I found is a very non-traditional bottle episode.
Go on.
It has some of my favorite ships and some of my favorite anti-ships all rolled into one.
What?
Oh,
yes.
I thought I knew what this was, but I think I was wrong.
This is Battlestar Galactica, Season 3, Episode 9, Unfinished Business. Now, this is the episode.
Okay.
This is, I think, probably the best episode of the series. It's the one where they set up a boxing ring below deck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like this tradition among the Battlestar crews that if you take off your tags and throw them in the bucket, then anyone can challenge you to box. Rank doesn't matter. Yep. Status doesn't matter. It's like, we're gonna blow off all the steam imaginable right here in this boxing ring.
Yes.
So the boxing ring is like the bottle. You get these.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It has, I mean, you're going to say this. It has flashbacks.
So many flashbacks.
It's like
much happens in flashbacks.
Because part of when people make bottle episodes, part of the reason, especially in traditional sitcoms, is because it's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
Because you only need one set and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
This was probably not the cheapest episode of Battlestar Galactica.
No, probably not at all.
There's a lot.
It's got, well, New Caprica's all exteriors.
That's true.
So it's all exteriors of New Caprica and then the boxing ring set.
Right.
No, there's not even any.
I guess probably for them, because there's no dogfights in space, which is probably the most expensive thing.
And there's no Cylons like walking around or anything. It might be a fairly cheap episode for that show.
Yeah. I haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah.
Aren't a lot of the like scenes also with like Starbuck, the flashbacks like at night? Why am I remembering this?
Well, because it's like their version of 4th of July. I can't remember, Independence Night or
something.
I can't remember. We cut the corners off our flag, whatever they call it.
And also every goddamn piece of paper.
Yeah. Everything's a hexagon?
No, it's just a regular square with one corner cut off.
Okay.
Everything.
Insane.
God. I love that show.
I do too.
So, Hexagon. It's been forever since I revisited it.
Okay. So, I could just go through this because honestly, like there's so many anti ships.
Lay it on me. Let's remember
Battlestar.
I wonder
if one of my ships is going to be one of your anti ships.
Well, this is. This is show wide for me, and it is really brought out in this episode, and we really see it. My biggest anti ship of the series is Starbuck and Leah Madama. Fuck them. They don't fucking deserve each other. They don't deserve happiness of any kind.
Well, but that's what the episode Unfinished Business is about.
Yeah.
How they're both broken. They'll destroy other people, but they can never stop being in that thing.
That like, doesn't mean I have to ship it just because the show is telling me this information.
Also, did you call him Lee Amidala?
He did. It was weird.
Okay.
He also, in last episode, said Gleam. Instead of gleaned it, and I thought about that for a while. Like, oh, you gleamed it, and I was like, shiny.
It is shiny. That's how you know.
I feel like that's a good anti-ship because the show keeps like putting them into like. I think it keeps setting them up as a ship that you want to care about, and then like giving you permission to not.
And it has the whole like post-coital screaming into the night. I love Leah Dama. I love Leah Dama. That moment, which I did not care for at all.
It felt so. I love this episode.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like anything they do is a bad character move in this episode. So
oh sure.
So like yeah, it's obnoxious, but people in love are obnoxious, especially ones who think they don't have to deal with consequences of their problems. Like
right.
Lee and Kara, even if the world didn't end, is a horrible idea. she was in love with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
She got his brother killed. They have very many issues. Like, they were never, there's no world where they have a happy. Yes. There's no such thing as a happily ever after. There's no actual opportunity for them to be happy because they're fundamentally, like, incompatible humans.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of happily ever after, another ship that I have from this episode is Chief and Callie. And we get to see. You don't like Chief and Callie?
Oh my god.
You just both just rolled her eyes hard at
her. Hand over her eyes so much.
What is wrong with
Callie
you?
Callie is a piece of shit person.
She is not
She's
a piece
a
of
jerk.
She
She's
is not
heroic.
You are
she
crazy.
She wants credit from everyone for just being semi-brave sometimes.
Oh my
she
god.
She traps Chief in that relationship.
Oh, you
He's
are the worst,
He's still thinking about
Smokey.
Boomer all the time.
Oh,
I'm just...
He can't have Boomer. Boomer's dead and she was a gosh darn, Cylon. I'm losing my mind here.
I can't believe you
Smokey.
Like Callie.
I love
just...
Callie.
Oh.
She's down to earth. She's fucking
lame.
She's a good mom. She's a good wife. She's a fucking good companion for him. A good employee. She's a decent, loving person, and she treats him well.
She's
what else
small-minded. She's racist.
Well, against Cylons?
Yes.
The Cylons are robots. I'm
Open
racist against
mind.
Cylons.
He is. He hates robots.
I do not like the Cylons.
I was telling him I'm excited about self-driving cars, and he did not enjoy that.
No, I'm not behind self-driving cars either.
Why not?
Because they lead to Cylons.
I don't know if that's true.
I think it might
He's
be.
He's afraid of the
Those Cylon Raiders fly themselves, don't they? Had to start somewhere.
Yeah, but they got, like, brains inside them, and you can, like, dig into their brain and fly them around by pulling on their brain cords.
So really, you don't think Elon has a fucking bunch of jars with brains in them at his fucking compound?
Yeah, but that's just for decor.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like it for
right,
decor.
Okay, I got to hear the rest of this from you, because I'm just...
I mean...
So your ship of the episode is Callie and Chief.
Yes,
your Callie. Anti-ship in this episode that is probably, like, every Lee Kara shipper's favorite episode is the anti is Lee
yes.
Kara, which I'm like, I am shocked. This episode brings... I don't understand. Okay, and then I'm going to guess, and I hope that we're aligned with this. I think we are.
Okay.
That you also enjoy drunk Roslyn and Chief Adama.
Yes.
Okay, phew.
Yes, Admiral Adama and Roslyn are OTP of that series, 100%, and they do have a lovely drunk
night.
Or not
drunk, maybe they're high. Don't
they're
they, like,
drunk
they smoke? They smoke weed with the corner cut off.
Yes, four and a half little prongs coming off the leaf. No, yeah, they smoke a joint and they talk about, like, building a house together on New Caprica, and it's all very tragic because the whole episode is like,
is this when she's like cancery?
She's in remission at this point.
Okay.
I think in season three, if I'm remembering correctly. But the whole thing is, like, you know, if you've seen the series, they're in search of a planet and they find one and it's New Caprica and they think it can be their home, but then ultimately it can't be.
Yeah.
And nothing gold can stay and they have to return to their nomadic life aboard the spaceship.
Man, what a cool fucking turn for that series. Like,
oh my gosh.
Where, like, they achieve their goal halfway through it and then they're like, oh wait, our goal sucked.
Yeah. Well, the goal remains the same.
Yeah.
They failed. They thought they succeeded, but it didn't work out. So, yeah, Callie and Chief thought that, like, Adama grants Chief a life on New Caprica instead of saying on the ship. He thinks he's going to raise a family with Callie on a planet. Adama starts to think, like, oh, I can maybe, like, be with Roslyn in a real way, and we can have a home and a life together. And then when it doesn't work out, boom, everyone gets smashed back into this little box.
Yeah.
The squared circle of the boxing ring. And all this shit has to come out. And the best fight of the episode, Starbucks and Lee's is super fucking cool. Great fight. And they get a lot of their bullshit out. Tragic for their spouses.
That's part of why it's like, I get not rooting for them to be together, but I still find their dynamic compelling, at least at that point in the series. I think
but that's all
get
I mean
strained.
By anti-ship, Mogi, is I don't want them to be together.
Okay, you don't mean you don't want them to interact anymore. Like,
no, I love that
show. Like, see that, because how I feel about, like, Callie and Chief, if at a certain point in the first season, Callie, I don't know, got into an airlock accidentally and a button got pushed. That would please me more than her being on the show anymore.
You're the fucking worst.
No, but when I say anti-ship, I mean literally I never want to see those two people interact.
No, I just still want them to be together. We have to have the drama.
Get your wish.
Kelly, you got a bottle ship?
Yeah. Okay, well, I have a ship and then I have an anti-ship. Mm. Okay, my ship is, I mean, I feel like it's so obvious. It's my favorite episode in television at all. It's the suitcase from Mad Men, and it's the episode where basically Peggy is staying late at the office to work on her birthday, and she and it's just them basically stuck there working all night trying to like finish this thing before tomorrow before the next day, and instead of going into the romantic, thank God, they like truly like empathize and identify with each other. And they have it's the iconic line of her saying you never say thank you, and it's him saying that's what the money is for, and then you kind of just get exactly who those people are in that moment. And they she sees him break down when he thinks that she's not looking at him, because he finds out that this woman that he loved has died, and he cries at the at his desk, and she just is like watching him. And then there's also I just like that encapsulates to me like the perfect TV relationship.
Yeah. And the perfect expression of those two characters too.
Yes. And to see them both, like, just how do they deal with problems? Who are they when they're at their worst? And mm-hmm. who are they when they think that they're at their best?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have an anti-ship.
Okay.
Which is, there is an episode of, and it's arguably a good episode of Bewitched.
Ah.
Where.
Going way back for this
Darren
one.
Darren breaks his ankle or sprains his ankle going down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having to like wait on him hand and foot, she enchants the house so that it can like do magic for him. To get around the whole like mortals aren't allowed to do magic thing. And he becomes just like, I'm gonna quit my job. He just becomes very like greedy and like,
oh wow.
Now that he knows he has magic house, he's like, I don't need to do anything.
Exactly. He's like, we're invincible, we can rule the world, kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like Darren at all.
Here's the thing, it's because all of his anti-magic, all of that stuff comes from the fact that she's more powerful than him. Which makes me hate him more than I've always hated him. Because his whole thing is no magic in the house. No magic in the house. No magic in the house. Always, always, always.
Yeah, she shouldn't have married him.
She never should have married him. She is way better than him.
She's one of the best.
She's one of the best.
She's great.
And he is a wet gym sock that fell in a puddle.
And works in advertising.
Yeah, and he's an ad guy. Two of them, both of my ships involved ad people.
Yeah.
He's a madman.
Yeah.
So
he is a madman.
So you take the side of Mother in
Mother.
The series.
Well, and guess what? In this series, so he's all confident, or in this episode, he's all confident. He's like being kind of like not great.
Mm-hmm.
She says his name right in this episode.
Oh, because normally she purposely calls him like...
Did I call him the wrong name?
Darren.
Darren, right? She calls him Daryl?
I don't know what she calls
him. A variety of names.
I think she calls him a bunch Dundred at some point.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Samantha.
Samantha and Darren. Yeah.
Can I ask how that's a bottle ship?
They're in the house the whole time.
Ah, got it.
It's a bottle episode.
Got it.
And directed by a female director.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it stands out as like one of the best episodes of the series.
Nice.
I don't have too many fond memories of watching Bewitched. I know I watched a bunch of it like on Nick at Night.
Me too. I watched it with my mother.
When is this one? What's this one called?
A is for Aardvark.
Okay.
And it is a season one episode, I believe.
Mm.
I am going to seek it out and watch it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. It sounds like we see the truth.
I mean,
he never
admits that, like, I don't like that you're better, that you're stronger than me because you have magic.
Right.
It's like, well, I mean, but the whole thing is he wants her to fit in. He's not accepting of who she is as a person.
Not at all.
He wants her to play a role, and that role is very limited. And at the time, it was more koshers in a society to do that to each other.
To force your wife to play the role of your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, and homemaker and mother of your kid. And like, they should never have had children together.
Yeah.
Like, don't bring another witch into this house.
I know.
And then be mad when Tabitha does.
You know
things.
What's going to happen.
Like, come on. Mm. She's a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, use this opportunity to try to learn some magic.
He can't. He's not allowed to use
it. Not allowed.
Just figure
he's,
it out.
He's not. He's immortal. You're not allowed to. He gets her a watch that is inscribed. So he's trying to do all these like magic gifts for her.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I don't like what, like, I want you to care about me. And then he gives her this gift that like he actually like put thought into. And like, it's a watch that's inscribed with, I love you every second, which is a little.
Oh, but it's cute.
But it's 1960s cute.
Yeah.
But that is like a cute. And then she's like, oh. And then she cries on screen, which is rare for a sitcom.
Yeah.
What if Don Draper's crying at his desk and Peggy walks in to comfort him and gives him a watch that's inscribed that says, I love you every second?
He would break that thing.
He would look at it,
crumble it up, put it into his scotch, look her in the eye, and drink
and
it.
And then he would be like, "I don't think about you at all."
Or he would just give it to someone he's casually dating.
Oh my god!
He'd give it to his daughter.
Like he would forget.
Oh, he'd give it to his daughter.
He'd forget it's in his coat pocket and be like, let's see. Oh, here's a gift for
he
you.
Would give it.
I love
to
you every second,
Betty.
You think That's he would give
sad.
It to Betty?
No, he wouldn't. Ugh. She would find it and think it's for her. This is like Love Actually.
Oh my gosh! I think at this point in the series. Doesn't he just straight?
He's
don't
not
they straight
with
up
Betty.
Despise each other?
Yeah, they
at that
hate
point?
Each other at yeah. this point. And I think she might even be with what's his name?
Henry.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it Henry?
The other
the guy
with
Henry
a
pretty quickly.
Yeah, the
isn't his name Henry, and then they have a baby named Henry.
Yes, Henry's
that
on Henry's.
Maybe isn't his baby.
I don't think
oh,
it is.
Right.
I don't think
horse,
it is.
Was it the horse jockey's baby? Is that who does she have?
Yeah, she's got a horse boy, right?
She's got a horse boy.
Oh yes, the boy, the horseman.
Yeah,
where she because she gets into equestrian shit. And
well,
then,
although
yeah.
maybe that might be earlier. I don't
think that's
remember.
Earlier.
Ugh. Anyway,
Betty can get it. That's the point.
Yep.
Great Betty. Show. That
although you know what, I think once you get to know her, I don't think Betty can get it.
No, Betty. No, you don't want to be with Betty.
No,
you only want to be with Betty when she's shooting those clay pigeons with
yes, the cigarette.
I'd go shoot guns with Betty and chain smoke with her. That sounds like fun.
But you would not want to be her friend.
No,
she would be such a bitch to you. She would like tell you straight up look bad. She'd be like, oh,
I can't imagine being friends with her.
No,
because she also is not going to like put in any effort.
Not at all.
So you never see her.
Oh, yeah.
Because when am I going to call Betty to hang out?
Never.
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 She's the worst.
Never. You don't want to hang out with her.
She'd probably
you know you do want to hang out
in
with.
In the supermarket.
She would.
Is that why her only friend is a 9-year-old boy?
Oh, yeah. What's
Glenn.
His name? Son.
Yeah.
Glenn.
Yeah. Matt Weiner's son.
Matt Weiner's son.
Yeah.
Creepy Glenn.
Mogi, you got a bottle ship for us?
Colin's I do.
Pointing around,
I'm like,
trying
that?
To remember who hasn't
I,
gone yet.
I interpreted this different than everyone else. That's cool. So
that's often
we'll
me.
We'll
that's
be
often
the judge
me.
Of whether
Don't worry
it's
about
cool.
That.
I mean, that also means that I interpreted it different than everyone else.
Yeah, unless I also vote. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Colin
so
and
I didn't
interpreted
do
it similar.
We did.
Well, I thought about bottle episodes, but then none of them were like special episodes for ships that I care about, and that's what the topic of the show is. So I had to. Bow out of that, but then I started thinking about couples that drink together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really cool interpretation.
And
you're like,
then,
and then I didn't do that.
And then I was like, and then I was thinking about drunk, like people with alcohol problems, and then that didn't really work for me. And
Get
then
sad.
I thought about Cheers for a while, but I thought you guys would call me Frasier again, and I didn't want to open myself up to that, so I stepped away from that. And then.
All right, Frasier.
Classic avoidance.
I
right,
totally
Frasier?
Forgot that you guys called her Frasier. I cool. Let it be known, I never called you Frasier.
Yeah, we're still friends.
Oh
man.
Heartbreak. But no, so I picked a show that had the characters in a booth drinking alcohol every single episode for 8 seasons, pretty much.
Huh.
And this ship doesn't sail the way I want it to, and there are some problematic things that happened during this show, but I rewatched key episodes of the ship's arc to make sure I still ship it, and I do. And that ship is Barney and Robin from How I Met Your Mother. He is a very problematic character.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch any non-Robin episodes with him.
Wait, what do you mean any non-Robin?
I mean, in my life, I've seen every episode.
Right.
But for this, to prepare for tonight, I watched Sandcastle in the Sand, which is the first episode where they hook up when she's very sad because James Van Der Beek has dumped her again. And then I watched kind of more episodes like as their relationship progresses, which is mostly him like kind of pining over her. Right. So it's not necessarily him being a creep tricking people to have sex with him, which is what he
does
other times. That's a lot of his time. So I don't think I'm into that, but...
Wait, you don't think you're into what? Into the elaborate lying to strangers to have them sleep
with? But what I really like...
Bro code, etc.
And to be honest, I think it's that I love Robin. I think she's cool. I think she's funny. I think she's herself. I like that she like works on being vulnerable, but it doesn't necessarily always come easy to her. And that I really like the way they deal with Ted, who is her boyfriend at the beginning of the show, how that relationship arcs and how they just kind of realize that they want different things and they love each other, but they have to move on. And so I like that her next big relationship with Barney is he really does know her and accept her for who she is and wants to build a life with her, the kind of life that she wants. And so I'm happy for her that she has a person to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in the finale, they let you know that they get divorced. I choose that to not be the future. But
well, and also you can ship something and not accept that it.
Well, I don't want to ship. The future I want for them is not where he reverts completely to his shittiest self, and I am a Robin lover, so in the finale she becomes a horrible friend. She cuts off all of her friends and stops taking their phone calls for years. Like that's canon, and that's not something I dig.
After a very painful divorce, I mean,
well, Lily didn't deserve that. You don't, and then she shows up at that party and she's like, we're not really friends anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's
rough. Pretty harsh. That's not a very nice way to treat someone who was so important to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of not fair that show to show us so much time without like examining it. Cause like you're in those characters' lives like as they're happening for those, you know,
yes.
like 8 years of the show. And then it's like here we're glossing over like 20 years or however long.
It is one of my least favorite finales of all time.
Yeah.
It felt almost like a betrayal. Like, didn't make me feel good. And they finally reveal Ted Mosby.
I felt sick.
It's really
my mucus was red and black.
My pets left me.
Well, and then you meet the mother and then they kill her.
Yes. Ted Mosby kills her. Poisons her soup.
She has cancer.
No, he poisons her.
She has cancer.
Do you know that there's an alternate version that got released on DVD of the finale? It's like,
what?
Yeah, they didn't reshoot the whole thing, but it's like 15 minutes that you could watch instead of the finale, and I watched it. And it kind of just fixes everything. The mother lives. I think Barney and Robin still get divorced, but no one really cares. But it ends with, and this is how the show sort of fucking ended. It ends with the scene of Ted and the mother, Tracy, if you are a How I Met Your Mother head, Ted and Tracy meeting on the platform and having their first like cute little conversation. So the show ends with them meeting.
That makes so much more sense.
Ending with him wooing back his old girlfriend with a French horn.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessary. It ends with them meeting and you seeing how compatible and charming and how much they get and how his dorkiness finally has a match and a balance. Like all of it makes sense. Like they're both pretentious. They're like, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I switched ships, but
it's hard. Cause the name of the show is How I Met Your Mother.
And then at the end he meets mother. If you watch this one version, it's on YouTube.
Okay.
But yeah, Barney and Robin, they drink a lot.
Yeah. That's a good bottle ship. Colin, did you have any questions from our listeners?
Yes, our fans have sent us more questions. And if you listeners at home would like to send us questions to have read on the show, you can tweet at us. Our Twitter handle is @shippledips. That's shipple like nipple and dips like nips. You can find us on Instagram, or you can email us at shippledipshow@gmail.com. And May Morawski says, Shippledips, what happens when you ship your own D&D character with another character in the party, completely in character?
Okay. Well, there was actually a really interesting tweet thread about this. About how you should, if you are like, I want my character to like hook up with someone else's character at the table, don't be coy about it. Out of character, out of game, tell the fucking GM and tell the person that you're to see if they're actually willing for their character to hook up with your character. Cause then you can orchestrate like a higher highs and lower lows for your characters.
Interesting.
So if you're like, dang, I want my character to hook up with that character, talk to the other player and be like, dude, like it would be really cool if like either Mike, like they eventually get together. We can like, and then you can kind of talk about how do you want that to unfold, or you can write fanfic.
Yeah, I think that's because when you are actually like shipping your character with your friend's character and you want that ship to play out in the game, you are sort of doing like actually doing something intimate with your friend. Like, yeah. Not physically
intimate,
obviously.
Yeah, I think you should take a second
and
examine your feelings, the situation. Because there's also, like, don't make shit weird, bro.
Well, yeah, I don't think you should, like, be...
Well, if you're secretly in love with your friend, do not propose to them.
Yeah.
What if our characters fell in love
with them?
Because that is... Because, one, your friend probably knows you're in love with them.
They probably do.
They would be dating you.
They always know.
They always know.
They know.
Here's what you want to do. If you do have feelings for someone in your campaign, IRL, romance the person sitting directly to their left in game, because then they can see how charming your character can be.
You got to clear it with that person, too.
No, you romance the characters.
Yes.
You can do that with the GM out of game if that's how you want to do it.
You can romance the characters, but it's not good. I don't think that's a good stratagem for getting a person who you know in real life to love you back.
No, because then here they are. So my character is the way we're sitting right now.
Yes.
My character is romancing Kelly's character.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick gets to watch how romantic my character can be.
But
and
Patrick,
be like, oh, he's not romancing my character, but he's very good at romance.
Okay, but Patrick, we just established that if you were secretly in love with Patrick, he would know. So now he's awkward because he knows you like him and you're making a big fucking show about romancing Kelly's character.
And also, it's and really weird that every time we're RPing, you just keep looking at Patrick. You just keep looking at him.
You say something sweet and then your eyes go to Patrick.
I can't help it.
That's what I'm saying. That's also, why I think almost be asexual in your game if you're in love with one of the other players.
Okay.
Because you're going to make it awkward for the rest of us.
So, okay, if you're doing it for a purely storytelling or like whatever, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if we were playing, it would be fine.
Well, yeah, we would be ship. We would all be, all our characters would be ship each other.
Yeah. If four of us had a campaign, it would be an orgy.
If your question really is, are you shipping your character with someone else's character? If you are like, I am madly in love with this person, don't do this. Like,
this is not the way.
Like, just maybe tell that person how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
They probably know.
In the
know.
Middle of a campaign?
No.
Okay, yeah, just not with dice in front of you.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
So when the dice...
You would have to roll to find out.
Oh, that's amazing.
They're going to be like, okay. They're like, my armor class is really high.
So when you're...
around your heart.
Yeah.
Oh. When your dice is safely back in its velvet pouch.
Yeah.
Just ask them out.
Yeah. You say, do you want to get a drink after this?
As you're packing up. Mm-hmm. You're packing up and you're like, hey, oh, shit. Okay, what if you say, does anyone want to grab a drink after this? And they're like, oh, you know what? I got to run. And then other people are like, yeah, let's do it. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah, the proposed
group
hang.
No, then you ask those people, what about this person?
I really, really like Patrick, you guys. I know I've been romancing Kelly's character this whole time.
Oh, my God. I think the game's over.
Yeah, I think maybe
I call it. I'm sorry. I don't want to be party to this.
Yeah, it gets, like, too awkward for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, what if you actually fall in love with your friend's character? I'm taking your character out.
I think honestly, then you definitely cannot ship your character with them.
Right.
Because it's too real.
That's too much.
So what you have to do is you have to write fanfic.
Yeah, write fanfic.
Yeah, you got to
write.
And honestly, you got to fanfic this one out.
The nice thing about it being a D&D game, you could write fanfic and sell it as a novel.
Yeah, because no one else knows what's going on.
You'd have to tell your friends.
Let's just say it's not a streamed game. Like, no one else is out
here. It doesn't exist as content somewhere.
Right. It's just a thing that you're doing with your friends, and then you just create this wonderful fantasy romance.
Okay, so maybe, you know what? Maybe it's not even fanfic. Maybe it's just daydreams.
Okay, so you just, okay, set aside 3 to 5 hours a day.
I mean, I spend that much time commuting to and from work.
Daydream with dice while masturbating.
Oh, be careful.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Actually, that is so weird. I'm just picturing, like, what you would roll for. Oh, my God.
Oh,
what are your modifiers?
You roll for, like, tempo and grip strength.
You mix in one of those, like, sexy dice.
The other one's like, my butt.
18 in butt. Okay.
Here we go.
Wow. That's strong.
You guys.
Two relationships.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.